Today we are going to study book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and starting from verse 1.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
Now here St. Paul is saying, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 to chapter 5 we read, and each and every chapter there is a verse about coming of Jesus Christ. Here he says, Jesus Christ is coming soon, and we are going to gather together with him. And that we learn in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting from verse 13 to 18. Now the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is coming. He is bringing all the loved ones who are dead in Christ. Their spirit will come with him, and their body will join with the spirit, and they will be transformed. And the people who are alive, we will be transformed, and we will gather together with Jesus Christ. And that is a great hope God has given to us. And now here he's saying in the verse 2, that we not be soon shaken in mind or the trouble, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Jesus Christ is at hand. Now when you read that, some people will be troubled, like the church of Thessalonians were in trouble. What was the trouble in their mind? When 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we say Jesus Christ is coming and we will be transformed. And now some people who are not living for Christ, they don't like Jesus Christ coming soon. Some of the things they want to do and they didn't do it, so they will say, Lord, please don't come, I'm just going to get married. Or please don't come, I want to have some children. Or please don't come, I want to get some good job and travel all around the world. And many, many people have many desires to do. Those people do not want Jesus Christ coming. And some people believing that when Jesus Christ comes, he is going to destroy sinful people. So they might be thinking, if he comes, we will be destroyed. So we don't want him to come in. And that's what some people are afraid of, coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you live for Christ, then you don't have to worry about anything. If your mind set on God, when we read about the second coming of Christ, you don't have much time to prepare. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52, how much time you have to get ready when Jesus Christ comes.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
How much time? Twinkling of an eye. Very short period of time you have to prepare yourself. Then what we do? We should be ready all the time. When you're ready all the time, then you don't have to worry. If you are living in sin or living in the world, and busy in the worldly thing, and if you are not concerned about going to heaven, you will be left behind. So here the word of God is saying, St. Paul is telling these people that you be not shaken in your mind or trouble in your spirit. What's happening? They are thinking, if Jesus Christ comes suddenly, what will happen to us? So he said, I was with you. I told you how Christ is coming, but you are troubled in your mind. But he says, you don't have to be troubled in your mind. When you are ready for Christ, you don't have to worry. Last time we learned, you are sleeping or you are awake. We will be with him because we don't have to sit there and watch 24 hours if Jesus Christ is coming. There are pamphlet people putting out. They set the date, what time Jesus Christ is coming. People are sometimes running towards the mountain. Sometimes people are running toward the caves. And sometimes people are not even sleeping that Jesus Christ will come that night. That's not the word of God is teaching us. We have to be ready day or night. And when we are sleeping or we are awake, if we are tuned to God and we are thinking about God, we don't have to worry about left behind. So he is trying to tell these people that Jesus Christ is coming and the day is approaching. And so they thought maybe he's coming today, maybe coming another day, or maybe another second, and people get panic attack. I'm not ready. We don't have to be panic about Jesus Christ. He knows your hearts and he is coming to take you home. And so I'm not worried. Some people are saying, oh, I have a beautiful mansion. And Jesus Christ comes, do I have to leave this beautiful house and all these treasures? This world is nothing. St. Paul says, all what I have, I think like a trash or dung. Everything he gave up and followed the Lord. So once you know the calling, what God has called you for, his disciples followed, gave up everything and followed. And then Peter started thinking, did I make a mistake? Let me ask Jesus. Jesus, we left everything and we followed you. What are we going to get? What Jesus said, you are going to get 100-fold in return in this world, what you gave up, plus eternal life. So we are not losers. You will be not hungry or thirsty. God will provide everything what you need. So he is the one provider and he watches over you. You don't have to worry about food or shelter or anything in this world. Now this church is troubled. So he said, did I trouble you with my letter or something? Why you get so panic about second coming of Christ? So he's saying there is a signs of his coming. Now, sometimes people say, tell me the signs of his coming. Now, there are so many signs are fulfilled. And the word of God says that Israeli people will gather together in their country. They will be flourishing. Then Jesus Christ will come. Is that happened? Yes, it's happened. And it's happening. And he's coming very soon. We don't know what time he'll be coming. And so we have to be ready. We learned last time that we are not in the children of dark. We are the children of light. So we are not worried about sleeping or not sleeping. We are in Christ and Christ can come any time. But these people were worried. So he said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
When he's saying, don't be confused, don't let anybody teach you something wrong, he says, before that day comes, the falling away will come first. When you say falling away, people will be committing sin more, or they are going away from the truth. God is not giving permission, but God is saying, you want to be righteous? Be more righteous. You want to commit sin and be sinful? Do sinful things. Because Jesus Christ is coming soon. And then he has the reward for everybody. So here he's saying that Antichrist is going to be revealed one day. Now many people are thinking, maybe according to this word, Antichrist will come first and then we'll see him, Antichrist, and then the Christ will come. Now, from this verse, seems like that. But as the second coming of Christ, there are two phases, like I said. First thing happens like a 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Means Jesus Christ comes first in the mid-air. He takes his bride and goes up. And then the tribulation starts on this earth for at least 7 years. At that tribulation period, that devil, who is the son of perdition, he will come. And let's read the verse 4.
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Now this is Antichrist. This is the one who is the son of perdition. And he is the one opposeth God. He does not want people worship God. He wants people worship him. He wants to exalt himself like God. Do you know this? The angel, the Lucifer, was singing and praising God and glorifying God and doing everything pleasing God. And one day, all of a sudden, he thought, hey, I got so much power. All the angels are with me. I am the leader. And he was so proud what God has given him position. So he started thinking, what I'm going to do, I'm going to rebel against God. And I want to be God or above God. So what happened? He's fallen, and one third of angels are fallen with him. So that idea he never gave up. God can forgive anybody anytime. But devil never asked forgiveness. Satan never said, Lord, I'm sorry. He's still thinking, I want to be about God. I want to be God, and I want people to worship me. He never gave up those things. So much puffed up, and I know everything, and nobody knows anything. And that's why this devil start exalting himself, and I want to be God. I don't want anybody worshiping God, and he is going to come. But now when he says, when that man of sin will be revealed, and then Christ will come. So now some people are mixed up and they got a different doctrine. They are saying, we are going to go through the tribulation because until the Antichrist is revealed, Christ is not coming. And there are doctrine established and people are preaching like that. But as I said, in second coming of Christ, there are two phases. He comes and takes the bride, takes his people, and then he comes back openly to rule the children of Israel in the 1,000 years reign. So here we're saying the devil is always destroying the people, even the today. How do you know? He says he walks like a roaring lion and finding who he can devour. And he's always trying to destroy marriages, destroy churches, destroy families, and that's what he's doing, but we have to know his tactic. We learned last time our war is not with flesh and blood. Our war with the spiritual authorities in high places. So we have to be very careful. Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming first for his people, and secondly, he's coming openly to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Okay, let's read verse 5.
Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?
Now when he say, when I was with you, I told you these things. Somebody say, what things he told? Another day I was listening to one preacher. He's also in the television. He says, what thing he is talking about in here, he did not mention, but I know what he was talking. He was talking about this Roman Empire. He was talking about the persecutions was coming, and the Roman Empire was holding the Antichrist. I said, I don't know where he got it. And so when St. Paul saying, remember what I told you when I was with you and told you these things, what things he told about second coming of Christ? As we learn in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as we learn in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, as we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting from verse 51, what he was talking about? He was talking about second coming of Christ and preparing the church. And he said, all the letters, when I'm writing to one church, that letter should be passed to other churches. So all the churches would know what St. Paul is preaching. So he's saying, you remember what I told you and what I preached to you. So that means he is talking about, don't get confused what I'm saying here. You people are confused. You people are thinking Jesus Christ is coming to destroy the whole world right away. But he says that would happen when the Antichrist comes and he exalts himself and he goes to the temple and he destroys the temple or defiles the temple. That's the time Christ is coming to destroy him. That's what he's trying to say. Okay, let's read verse 6 and 7.
And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way.
You know that withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now who is this revealed in his time? That's Antichrist. God has put Antichrist or Satan on hold. The devil is already defeated and he has no power over you. He can only roar like a lion. He is not a lion. He has no power. We have the Lion of Judah with us. So we don't have to be afraid of the devil. But God is the one not allowing him to be revealed. The time has set and that's the time he will be revealed. Let's read that verse. Verse 8.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Now here he's saying, why Jesus Christ is coming for second time? He's coming to destroy the devil. First time Jesus Christ came as a baby, he died on the cross of Calvary, and the word of God says he fought with the devil. He took the key of death and Hades and he came victoriously. And the devil is defeated. Jesus Christ has already defeated the devil. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Now, just like God is a mystery. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is called the mystery of holiness. And this is unholy Trinity is the mystery. That's also is a Trinity. The devil is the called the Father, and the Antichrist is almost like a son, and there is a false prophet is like a Holy Spirit. So they have unholy Trinity. And he says that unholy Trinity is already at work. That means the spirit of Antichrist or the false prophet spirit is already working. And we read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, he says the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of unbelievers. Do you know why the devil is blinding the minds of the unbelievers? Because he doesn't want the unbelievers to listen to the word of God, to listen about Jesus, to know who Jesus Christ is. The word of God says Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God himself. Jesus Christ is the Creator, he is the Savior, he is the Healer, he is the Deliverer. And he is the one gives life to the mankind. Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Jesus says, I am the way to heaven. So the devil doesn't want you to know what Jesus Christ is all about. So that's what the Word of God says. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. So let's read the verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
So here we see, then shall that wicked be revealed. Who is that wicked? The wicked is the Antichrist, the Satan. And the Word of God says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. When he says spirit of his mouth, that means something comes out of his mouth. Whose mouth? The mouth of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is coming, in his coming there are two phases. First time he comes to take his bride or take his children to heaven. After that, when the 7 years fulfilled, then Jesus Christ comes with his brightness, with his glory, with his power. And why he's coming? He's coming to destroy the devil, and he's coming to establish the kingdom of God on earth for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. So when he comes, the words will come out of his mouth just like a sharp two-edged sword or the sharp sword. So the Word of God is also like a sword. And so he says, from his mouth, the spirit of his mouth, that means the Word of God has power and the Word of God is spirit. And that Word of God works like a sword. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
See, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, the Word of God is like a sword. When Jesus Christ comes, he is going to use the Word of God, comes out of the mouth, to destroy the devil. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 19 to 21, when you read, we see that God, Jesus Christ, is using that sword. Revelation 19, verses 19 to 21.
And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
So see, the sword came out of his mouth. Whose mouth? The mouth of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ is going to use the word like a sword, and this devil will be destroyed. And the Word of God says this enemy, the devil, Antichrist, was taken. So that beast was taken means the beast was arrested, and the false prophet. And as we know, just like a godly trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there is an unholy trinity the Satan, the father, Antichrist is his like a son, and the false prophet like an evil spirit. But when Jesus Christ comes, he gets hold of that Antichrist and the false prophet, get hold of them and cast them into the lake of fire. And so, when Jesus Christ is coming, as the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8 we read, he is going to destroy with his brightness, means the brightness of Jesus Christ and the power of his word, which is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. He will destroy his enemy, Antichrist, and false prophet in the lake of fire. Let's read the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
So you can see from these verses, when the devil Antichrist will be revealed, he is going to do the signs and wonders, but those signs and wonders will not be true, because he says, working of the Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. Those are not the true wonders, just like a magician does some magic. It's not the truth, but looks like a truth. And so he will try to do lying wonders and try to deceive with all kinds of people with his unrighteousness. And the people who are living in unrighteousness, means living in sin, those are the people are going to be destroyed. And why? Because the word 10 says, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Jesus Christ is the love of God. John chapter 3 verse 16 we read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means God the Father sent the God the Son to die on the cross of Calvary, so he could shed his precious blood to redeem mankind, to cleanse mankind by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that was the love of God for mankind. Jesus Christ is the model of love. The word of God says we do not know what the love is. But the Jesus Christ says, I loved you first. So the Jesus Christ showed the love of Father in his life. And Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. And he says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. So here the word of God says, they did not understand the love and the truth, that they might be saved. So they do not want to know the love of God. They did not want to know the truth of God. They did not want to get saved. There are so many people today, you can tell them all the demonic stories, all the movies, what bad things you did or what bad things are happening into this world, they will listen. But once you start talking about God or Jesus Christ or the love of God or the truth, they don't want to hear it. And that's what the word of God says. If those people did not receive the love, receive the truth, those people will not be saved. Those people will be destroyed. And the verse 11, it says, for this cause God shall send them strong disillusion, that they should believe a lie. And if somebody says, why God is giving them this kind of mind? God is not giving them this kind of mind. Once these people are sold out their souls to the Satan, God allows them to do whatever they want to do. Because in the book of Revelation, it says, whoever is righteous, do more righteous things. And whoever commits sin, let them keep on doing unrighteousness or sinful activity. Then somebody says, God is giving permission. God is saying, whatever you're going to sow, you're going to reap. So if you commit sin, you will have punishment. What is the punishment for sin? Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God is still giving chance to people, but the people are not believing the truth. They are believing the lie. And when the Antichrist will be revealed, many people believe the Antichrist, who is the liar. And verse 12 says, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, when Jesus Christ comes to rule this world, and the people who do not believe in Jesus Christ and believed in lie and Satan, when the kingdom of God on earth 1,000 years will be over, and then God is going to judge the people, we read in book of Revelation chapter 20, and let's read from verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, start reading from verse 10.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
So here we see, in the last judgment, all the people who committed sin from the beginning of the world to the end of the 1,000 years reign, those people will be cast into the lake of fire. So the judgment is for sure. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, it says, it is appointed for man once to die, and after that judgment. So each and every person who is born into this world and committing sin, never received Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior, and keep on sinning, and that person dies, God is going to judge that person. So the people are afraid of judgment. But thank God, Jesus Christ said, if you receive Jesus Christ, if you believe Jesus Christ, and if you live a life of Jesus Christ, means if you are born again, child of God, you will not go into judgment, but you will pass from death unto life, and there is no condemnation. St. John chapter 5 and verse 24, he says, you pass from death unto life, and no condemnation. And Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2 also says, there is no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. So we are blessed. So you should receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Doesn't matter what kind of sin you committed, Once you say, Jesus, please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood, come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior, what happens? Jesus Christ comes in and the devil goes out in his activities. And according to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things became new. What happens? Once you receive Jesus Christ and believe the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record of your sin anymore. And somebody says, and if I commit another sin, then what? That sin you have to confess and put it right away. According to 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, he says, if you confess your sins, our God is just and faithful. He will forgive all your sins and he will wash with his precious blood. There is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse your sins. So God does not give you license to commit sin. He gives you power to not to commit sin. So if you live in Christ, you don't have to be afraid that you are going to commit sin tomorrow. Because the word of God says, 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, the greater one lives in you. The devil is great, but the greater one is Jesus Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you have power to defeat the enemy and you can live a victorious life. So let's go back to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and start reading from verse 13.
But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation, and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work.
St. Paul is saying, but we are bound to give thanks. Not only when you go to church, or when you're reading the Bible or praying, he says, you should be giving thanks always. Jesus Christ has called us and chosen us from the beginning of this world. The Ephesians chapter 1, if you read verse 3 and 4, the word of God says, God had chosen us before the foundation of the world. That means you were in the mind of God. You were in the heart of God, and God wanted us to do good things, good works, but no one was able to do it. The word of God says in book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, God has created us in Christ Jesus to do good works. Without Christ, we cannot do anything good. The word of God says, our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. People are doing so many good things, but if their life is not good, their deeds are no good in the sight of God. The word of God says, when the sinner prays, his prayer is abomination to God. So what God wants us to come to Christ, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So that Jesus Christ is the mediator. He brings our request to God. And when God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees you righteous. So the word of God says, God has called us, chosen us through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That means each and every person, when God calls, that person should believe Jesus Christ. That person should be separated by the Spirit of God to receive the truth of God. And once you know the truth, the Word of God says, truth will or shall set you free. Free from what? Free from sickness, disease, and eternal death or damnation. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world. And the Word of God is saying, we read in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, how you obtain glory of Lord Jesus Christ? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you read the Word of God, if you study the Word of God, gospel is a good news. The good news comes to you through the Word of God or through the preacher. So you receive it and then you get saved. The Word of God says, how can we get saved? We hear the Word of God, and the Word of God has power to change your life. And so the Saint Paul is saying in verse 15, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whereby the word of our epistles or word of our letters he wrote to them. So what he's trying to say, hold fast. Whatever you received it, don't give up. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Hold on to the teaching what Peter, Paul, John, and the apostle gave it to us. And so Jesus Christ is coming. And now the verse 16 is said, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. The Word of God says in John chapter 1 verse 17, the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Jesus Christ opened the grace of God. Without grace you cannot save. Without grace you cannot get healed. Without grace you cannot go to heaven. Without grace nothing can happen to you. But this grace comes through Jesus Christ. And that grace gives us hope of eternal life. And our hope is Jesus Christ. And the verse 17, it says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now when he says comfort your heart, because from the beginning of this letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 1, we read their heart was troubled. And that's what the Saint Paul is writing this letter, because when he talked about the second coming of Christ, they start thinking Jesus Christ might come today or tomorrow, and we are not even ready. And some of them were really not ready, just like we are not ready, some of us. When we are not ready, we are afraid of second coming of Christ. But Jesus Christ is coming, and he has given us the so much teaching in this scripture, the timing of his coming. And so, all the signs his coming is almost fulfilled. And we learn that he is coming like a thief in the night. But we do not have to be afraid or worried, because if we live in Christ, day or night, you are awake or sleeping, we will be able to go to heaven. Or when Jesus Christ comes, we will be going with him. So he says, comfort your hearts and establish in every good work. So he says, do not worry. Get comforted. Jesus Christ is the comforter. Holy Spirit is the comforter. There is none like Christ and the Holy Spirit who can comfort people. The people have so many problems. Some people have death in the family. Some people have so many crises. And they go and cry with somebody, and other people start crying with them, and they sometimes do not know how to comfort them. Only people can comfort you who had the same kind of trouble, and Jesus Christ comforted them, they are able to comfort. So here St. Paul is saying, let the God of comfort, let the God who can comfort you, and then you can do good things, good works, good words. Word will come out of your mouth so other people will be blessed. And the works you will be doing, not destruction, but helping one another. So the Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming very soon. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And Lord Jesus, your word is encouraging us. Even though you are coming, we do not have to be afraid, but we have to be excited. The devil will be destroyed, and his followers will be destroyed, but we want to follow Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are a good shepherd, and we are going to follow you, and you're going to supply all our needs. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to live for you and for your glory. Prepare us as well as prepare others for your soon coming. Give us grace to hold fast what we learn and teach others, and let the good words and good works come out of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.